Welcome to La Liga Weekly. No goalless draws, over three goals per game, and extra bonus time at the RCDE Stadium, just to make sure Atleti got their points. To be fair, they needed a bit long with Luis Suarez and Antoine Griezmann plodding around up front. Actually, there was 10 minutes of non-playing time before Lamar's 99th minute winner. But if we're doing that consistently, we're going to have to redraw these fixture schedules. Real Madrid won 5-2 against Celta Vigo, but people still tell me they need a striker. Welcome along to Eduardo Camavinga, a goal-scoring start for the 18-year-old midfielder. But 33-year-old Benzema was the real match winner, and 36-year-old Modric, the driving force in an excellent second-half performance. The shock news, my friends, is that Gareth Bale has an injury. Valencia are the other team at the top. See, not just kicking people up in the air. Bordalas is doing so well, it's almost time Peter Lim sacked him. Mallorca's title hopes are over. They didn't even last as long as Michel's reign at Getafe, which, let me check, is, yes, it's still going on. And we'll have a look at all of the La Liga teams, the ones that can be bothered to play this weekend, and the return of European football. Don't listen to the haters. There is not too much football out there. And do subscribe to our Patreon page. So patreon.com/LTEL. You can join the Joaquins, who's still going strong, isn't he, old Joaquin? He's still turning up for Betis, getting on and doing fine, isn't he? Doing
well. Difference.
So yeah, they are. That's the cheapest. So you can get a Joaquin on the cheapest rate, everybody. So do that. Terry Gibson is here. Now, for podcast listeners, Terry has done a quick change. About 3 minutes ago, you were talking to Rob Watton with a shirt on, Terry. Now, as Patreons can see, the old Metallica T-shirt is back.
Yeah, Metallica back. Yeah, loungewear. and shorts on or pyjama buttons when you can do Skype and Zoom for television at home. It's great.
Only a matter of time before everyone's sitting in that La Liga TV studio in their pyjamas doing these games, especially if we're having 10 minutes of added time at the end of every game.
Yeah.
it was controversial, that. So this is we'll dive in. Espanyol 1, Atletico Madrid 2. Sort of controversial because they found 10 minutes of added time. So I went back through the second half. Lamar disallowed goal took 5 minutes and 20, I think, because they did a couple of substitutions in that. It's like doing a pit stop in F1. They had a 2 minute cooling break that ran over as well. So you're 7.5 minutes there.
So without normal stuff.
Yeah. So then you're into the normal stuff, which wasn't to be. Espanyol didn't waste any time in that game at all. There wasn't anything cynical about how Espanyol played, but Savic fouled a few people, you know. They are relatively slow to restart.
For substitutions.
Yeah. So all of that normal stuff.
I think there was 10.
Yeah. So with all... Yeah. So you're into that much time, aren't you?
Yeah. And I think there's been a play by La Liga, isn't there, recently? It was criticised for the lack of playing time. It was the worst in Europe. So I think that hence, that's why we're seeing a drive to make sure that we do get what the customers are paying for, whether that's going to the stadium or watching at home on television with subscriptions. Why should we be denied 10 minutes? I think it was legitimate. A big surprise because Espanyol really wanted to hold on to the point. A blessing to Atletico Madrid. But I've got no issue with that at all. I expected about 7 or 8 anyway because of what happened. So, as you say, when you add on the normal 2 or 3 minutes that applies to most games, I don't think it was a major issue, and I hope it continues. And as you're right in saying that Espanyol weren't cynical in trying to hold waste time. Simeone accused them of that, though, which probably put it in the referee's mind, but that's his prerogative to try and put a little bit of pressure on the referee to make sure that every throw-in is timed, every goal kick is timed. But I didn't think they were, you know, unduly wasting time. But I genuinely think it's a good thing. And I hope to see it in this league more, other leagues as well. So it does stop teams being, you know, cynical in terms of wasting time and depriving people of genuine action. So Atletico, you know, the game's still got to be played. Just because you get the extra 10 minutes, it is a help if you're chasing a winner. But you've still got to perform. You've still got to come up with a goal, and Atletico did. And probably it was a weird first half from Atletico, similar to what we saw last season, where they waste half a game and then liven things up in the second half. It was interesting to see all 5 strikers being used in one match, a back 3 going to back 4, at half time, three subs coming on at half time. It was, or subs coming on at half time, and it was throwing everything he could at it, which is a slight concern. I think they do need to settle down a bit with the system. They do need to settle down in terms of, I know we've got loads of games coming up, but I think at this stage of the season, they could do with some continuity to make sure they don't concede as many goals. Poor goal to concede at the weekend. That slick hairstyle of Realda Thomas eventually pays off with that little flick at the near post that found its way into the far corner of the goal from the corner. But it was a gutsy performance from Espanyol. Good spirit shown. One of the teams, despite them not having loads of points at the moment, on the back of that performance, I think there's sufficient enthusiasm there from their supporters to, you know, suggest that they're going to be all right. It's going to be a tough season. For Atletico, two games on the trot where they've got last-minute goals to salvage a draw and then a win. I think, I haven't changed my opinion on who are the favourites for La Liga this season. So I think it was an important victory, just about, and Simeone has some sorting out to do regarding a system of play. How's he going to fit Griezmann in? How's he going to fit Joao Felix? He looked bright when he come on. How's he going to fit Angel Correa, who's been the form of his life? Luis Suarez needs to probably, if I'm being honest, needs to sharpen up a little bit, but that's not unusual for Luis Suarez at this stage of the season. And they were, you know, two unsung heroes in Carrasco with an incredible goal. I thought he missed the opportunity. He then makes a sliding hook challenge, gets the ball back, fires it home. And Thomas Lemar, who's been fantastic in this season. So he's got a luxury of gifted players at his disposal, Simeone. Can he use the squad in the right way without disrupting it every game and during a game? I think that's going to be the key to how successful Atletico are this season.
Can I read out a message from our Patreon, Paul, who says, my absolute delight at Lamar's performance today, fire emoji, an embodiment of how to be an Atleti player, never giving up and playing a game of ruthless energy mixed with footballing quality.
I was going to say, that's the important aspect as well, is the quality. And a completely different player, isn't it, to the one we've seen. I mean, he was good last season. But when he first came to Atletico, probably for about 18 months, he was being criticised, a complete lack of confidence. And this is the perfect example of how confidence can change a player entirely. So I think, you know, if you support a club, I think it's really important not to criticise too much, be it the manager, particularly the players. Get behind your players. Give them belief, give them confidence, make them feel welcome and wanted. This is from, you know, all players, but particularly new signings. And, you know, I think that is the way to get the best out of a player, rather than him playing and you writing him off after 6 months, demanding the club sell him, and then you do lose players. It's tough reading that about yourself all the time, whether it's in the media or social media. But for Thomas Lemar to battle back the way he has, when he clearly didn't have the confidence of Simeone. No confidence from the supporters. He was so criticised. And how he's rolled his sleeves up and got back into such good form that he is such an important player for Atletico Madrid now. He's a brilliant footballer.
Griezmann looks transformed. I mean, physically as well as anything, it looked like a different bloke. He's done the. It's been obviously to some kind of Atletico Madrid makeover artist to make him look hard. Well, he got taken off. He got taken off during that massive delay. So 52 minutes effectively he played.
Yeah,
which is not a lot of time.
No, and it was. We're at a weird stage of the season, aren't we? Where we've had the transfer window. Griezmann signed when he was away on duty with France with barely a minute left on the transfer deadline. Then the next day he played for France, then played again, then comes back to Atletico Madrid to join in. So it's all a whirlwind. And he's not alone. There's been other players that moved on transfer deadline day, but he was thrust into the starting lineup because of players being away for Atletico Madrid. Correa played. He'd been away in South America. There was other players that possibly could have played. But Simeone, I think, so you don't get that time to train and you don't know physically how people feel. It can be energy sapping, travelling. I know he was playing for France and not flying all around the world and going to South America, but the stress of the deadline day transfer and then a new club back to somewhere where you chose to leave, it's not easy to do. So I think it's I think it's better to come from Griezmann. Simeone was desperate to get him, so I anticipate that he will treat him as a regular player. There'd be no point in going to all that work at that late notice to bring in a player and then, you know, not play him. So I think it'll settle down. I'm really intrigued in how they're going to make it work with the strikers that they've got. I mean, it's highly unusual to use five in one match.
Yeah.
It just goes to show that Simeone was scrambling to get something. None of them scored. It's Lamar and Carrasco with the goals. So I think just needs a settling down period where, if at all possible, now we've got the Champions League coming up as well, of course, then another international break. It's going to be tough. So there will be weeks where he's blessed to have the choice out of five. But there's going to be other weeks where he's going to be second, you know, and different changes of mind, different opinions on which were two or three to play in the particular game.
So Real Madrid won 5-2 against Celta Vigo, having trailed twice in that game. Karim Benzema came up with the goods for them. Vinny Jr. was good as well. Camavinga made a nice little cameo debut in the second half. So all good, unless you're a fan of defending, of course, Terry. So as I say, yeah. the whole Mbappe thing, you know, trying to break the world transfer record, trying to spend 200 million on a striker, give the ball out the net is there a problem at the moment?
Yeah, but against the Celta team, I think he's got a problem there. Really do. Not him personally. I think the problem is the players. They've cost too many managers their jobs in the last few years. Then they pull their socks up when it becomes a bit of a crisis, and they get themselves out of trouble. And I'm seeing it again this year. I saw that, you know, there are one or two issues in terms of the team selection, but he's chopping and changing. He's trying to find a winning formula. But I thought the attitude from Celta was appalling from some of the players. And there's a lack of quality as well. So I think that when you saw the defending from Jason Murillo, if you look at the replay of the goals, there's always two or three players just jogging, and they're not showing that. He said their defending lacked aggression. I think that's a polite way of saying some of the attitude of the Celta Vigo defenders. It stunk, to be honest. You know, even Denis Suarez sticking the leg out. It was a lazy challenge to give away a penalty. I don't think the goalkeeper's anywhere near good enough, either as a goalkeeper or with the ball at his feet. And that's a team that constantly go back to the goalkeeper. And he's not very good with the ball at his feet. We keep hearing that his distribution is really good. Not seeing that. So why keep going back to a goalkeeper who's not particularly good with the ball at his feet? That's clear. Perhaps he's losing confidence. Perhaps he's lost confidence behind Araujo and Mario at the weekend. I thought they were really poor. And yet somehow they still managed to score two up the other end. So attacking-wise, they've got ability, we know that, with Aspas and Santi Mina and, you know, Bryce Mendes. They've got the quality in attacking play, but they've really got, you know, to start working harder defensively. For Real Madrid, I kind of have some sympathy in terms of their defensive situation because we haven't seen the first choice back four yet. Fernand Mendy hasn't played this season. Alaba was missing at the weekend. Carvajal has just come back. We don't know what his preferred pairing is going to be at the heart of defence. Alaba will be one of those. Then will it be, you know, Nacho or Militao? So I think that's one of the reasons. I think there are reasons why the back four isn't looking solid enough yet. And it clearly isn't. So those issues need to be addressed. But going forward, fantastic. Vinicius Junior, wonderful performance again. Benzema, you know, he just continues every year to get better and better, which is utterly ridiculous. So I think it's a good start from Real Madrid. I think that to go behind twice against a poor team will be a concern for Ancelotti. Back in the Bernabeu will help them as well. Sort of. Yeah, it was weird watching the you know, the coverings around the first part of the pitch. It didn't look much different inside. It's obviously going to take shape when the roof goes on and the outside is done. But from the inside, it didn't look entirely different. Not what I was expecting, I must admit. Well, I've seen pictures of the building work going on since it started. I still expected to see a huge change when they came in. So it wasn't.
And there weren't many people there, and there were massive tarpaulins all over most of the seats and stuff. So the big return. You think, okay, can't see the people.
yeah.
However, Camavinga. So they paid a lot of money for him. He's a player that is a highly rated player. Whenever you look at best players around, all of that, he was always in that. So what did you make of him? Obviously, let's not draw too many conclusions. He's a kid and he played half an hour or something. But I thought he looked, I saw promising signs there.
Oh, definitely. And I've done a little bit of homework before he joined Real Madrid. He is a hardworking, young, enthusiastic midfielder with bags of potential. Lovely to foot. And it was pleasing to see him get off to the perfect start, wasn't it? Coming on to a game which was almost won, and then scoring a goal himself. That will give him, a boost going forward. Ancelotti is desperately hoping that he can be an addition that he can count on this season. He's going to be a star at Real Madrid. I've no doubt about that. But I think Ancelotti is desperately hoping he can be used on a regular basis this season. And the signs were really good at the weekend. That was a perfect situation to do it, wasn't it? Ahead, winning a game, doesn't look like the team are going to be coming back. Rest Modric, put on Camavinga. And it worked perfectly. So a lovely start for an 18-year-old at Real Madrid.
Obviously, Barcelona didn't fancy playing this weekend. Neither did Sevilla.
I still can't get my head around it.
So, yeah, there we are.
Not just Barcelona, but the three of the Champions League teams. Yeah. I'm presuming that their games were meant to be Saturday, but then just move them to Sunday. That would have solved the problem. I know it clashes with other games that are being played, but in terms of importance, the reason the games are separated so we can watch them all singly on television, then for one weekend with this situation we're in, rather than have a league table that is going to look all over the place for a while, they all could have played. I know then their argument will be, we've got Champions League on Tuesday. It was a miss, I think, at the weekend.
Yeah. But it does mean that Valencia, Terry, are going strong. When they were this good, that's too strong.
No, when they were carried away.
At this point, under Marcelino, we were jokingly making out that they could win the league. We sort of knew that they wouldn't, but they gave it a good old run. That 4-1 away to Osasuna is a terrific result. If Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atleti, or Sevilla had produced that, we'd be saying, wow, they're looking, what a result that was. That's a statement, isn't it? But it's a hell of a result, isn't it?
And that second half performance was incredible. They've 1-0 down in this game as well. John Moncayoli getting a really good goal. They didn't panic. They came back. They equalised. And in the second half, just run away with it. Bordalás isn't actually getting a lot of credit, to be honest.
No, people don't like him.
There's a reluctance to give him any credit. Now, again, don't get carried away. It's still early in the season. But I was always interested to see how he would react with players of, with all due respect to Getafe, top quality, particularly in the attacking part of the pitch. And Carlos Soler has been fantastic this season. Guedes is coming back to form. Maxi Gomez with a goal at the weekend. Cheryshev, you mentioned Gareth Bale being injured. Cheryshev has picked up an injury as well. But the start they've had, and they look a really good team. But the important thing is he's getting the best out of the players that have got the quality, which hasn't been the case for quite a while now with Valencia. So they've really bought into what he's wants them to do. They're working as hard as Getafe did. They're aggressive still, but then they have that extra quality that he didn't have in the attacking part of the team at Getafe. So he's making the most of it. And long may it continue, because we need a bright, exuberant Valencia, and it makes it a better league. And it was a tremendous win for them. I mean, their squad is small, but the quality is still there just enough You know, you look at the bench that they had. Marcus Andre came on, Fulkier, new signing, came on. Diakabi came on for Alderete, who looks to be a good signing as well. Yunus Musa was back, who's been missing some of the season for injury. So the quality is there. They're going to have to be fortunate in terms of injuries and suspensions. But the signs are looking really good. It wasn't a really poor display from Osasuna either. You know, Valencia just, you know, on the break, and then they were good. And when they had controlled possession, they were good. They carried a goal scoring threat. They're you know, great to watch at the moment, Valencia.
Yeah. And Peter Lim will presumably put his hand in his pocket and spend £1 billion on glittering stars.
Oh, but my hope for Valencia is he keeps Guedes, he keeps Soler, he keeps Gaia, the main ones, Maxi Gomez. That's the big hope. And surely if Valencia are going in the right direction. Listen, Valencia, with Bordalesa's manager and this group of players, I said at the start of the season when I saw them at Brentford, they were appalling. It just didn't look anything like, it didn't look like the players were buying into what he wanted to do. It didn't look like he wanted to really impose his methods on the team. And it was nothing. There was no personality that you could identify with the team that I saw at Brentford. Pre-season friendly, I get that. I just wonder whether something like that, losing at Brentford and the poor display, just rallied them around and they picked, you know, showed more determination than they were showing. Perhaps the players are sick of being on the wrong end of criticism and poor results and suddenly thought, you know, perhaps if we go with this manager, we might have some joy. And then that little, you know, seed then grows into a decent first result where they beat Hatafe with the sending off of a player, Guillemon, in the first minute of the game. And then it just spreads, that, you know, that belief just grows more and more. And that result of the weekend, because as you said, Osasuna, that doesn't happen to Osasuna often in their own stadium. So they're not a bad team, but Valencia were excellent.
Right, well, let's do Hatafe while we're on, shall we? So obviously they lost Bordalás and it's one of these ones when a manager's gone, the team doing badly after he's gone, he's often painted as success for him. Depends how you view that, though. It's the old Harry Redknapp, isn't it? It's every team he left suddenly plummeted. And he said, well, maybe his future planning wasn't great. I'm not saying that's the case with Bordalás, but beaten at home by Elche, who got a debut goal with Lucas Perez. No points. Hatafe, it's a bad start, isn't it? I've seen speculation about Michel. It would be ridiculous to sack the guy, wouldn't it, in the middle of September? But you see that kind of thing happen, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going on in the club. We don't know how low the morale is at the club. We don't know if the players are really, really fully behind. It's a case of careful what you wish for, because Hatafe, I wouldn't say it's the norm, not getting any points after four games and not scoring any goals or not looking particularly bright. But in the past, Bordalás, his little period as manager was unique at Hatafe, wasn't it? They'd not qualified.
They were second division, weren't they? Yeah.
So, and then people were still, I'm not sure about the Hatafe supporters, whether they were in love with Bordalás, in love with the way his team played. But we know that the media in general in Spain, the reputation of Bordalás and Hatafe wasn't well-liked. It wasn't popular. So Hatafe have gone for, it just makes you wonder whether they're trying to change too quick. Michel is the opposite, isn't he, of Bordalás, completely in terms of style of play, in terms of his behaviour. I'm not saying either manager's got a better winning mentality than the other, but it is literally chalk and cheese. You know, Bordalás, I was going to say he didn't care what people thought about him, but he clearly did, because he really did get the ump when his team got criticised, he got criticised. But it was enough. He still had enough of that chip on his shoulder to, I care, but I don't care. We're going to continue to do what we do. We're going to upset people. And, you know, if people moan at me, I'll get the ump. But I've got no choice with this group of players. Michel has come in and last night they went to a back three, where they've been playing a back four. We, for the first two and three, they've had some difficult games. Barcelona, Sevilla. We've been saying they're playing some nice football, but you can't hang on to that confidence. Things get really tough when you're at this stage of the season and you haven't got a point. It's hard not to lose confidence. It's hard not to panic. It's hard to lose, not, you know, to not lose faith in each other, in the manager. So somehow they need a point quickly, a win quickly, start scoring goals quickly. Otherwise, the powers that be at Hatafe might just think, you know what, this is, although it's early in the season, we can see where this is going to be going. And they need to find someone maybe similar to Bordalás. The change might be too much too quickly. And the fact he went from a back four to a three suggests that he's having doubts now about the best system.
But don't go all the way back. That's where it goes wrong, isn't it? When you veer from style to style. I get your point.
Yes.
That it might be too much of a attack to the, whatever way you want to say, attack to the left. But you can't just swing back the other way, can you? And try and get...
New players have been signed.
Yeah, yeah. Because well, that was part of the issue last season, wasn't it, with Bordalás? We thought, because they struggled last season under Bordalás, because they had lost some identity, hadn't they? They were trapped in this sort of...
I think they lost, they got bored of him.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Mm. When a manager is nailing you every day, season after season, then I think then it becomes, well, we got into the Europa League. We did well in the Europa League. How much further can we go? And I wouldn't say they're bored of him, bored of the situation. So I think that's what happened last season. Then, you know, he's left the club. Michel comes in. I just wonder whether the change is too quickly, too much, too soon. And, you know, we're going to have to keep a look at it. But new players have been signed to play in this system, this new style of play. Whether it's successful or not, we shall see.
Athletic won by 2-0 against Mallorca.
Good result for Elche, though.
Yeah.
Great result for Elche, who've had a decent, more than decent start to the season and look to be a team that will do better, that will improve on last season. Lucas Perez as well had his problems at Alaves. Didn't hide that last night, did he? About the lies that were being portrayed about him by his previous club. In his interview after the game, he was hard-hitting. He was quite emotional. Fired up Lucas Perez with the other strikers they've got, with the decent quality around the rest of the team. Escribar's team looked like they're improving them last season, which is a good sign for them. So good win, despite us criticising Hatafe.
Yeah, so 10th Elche at the moment. Athletic 5th, Terry. 2-0 win over Mallorca. Yeah, I mean, I expected Marcelino to... He's a good coach. You know, I think he was a really good appointment for them. So, and I think early days, as we're having to caveat everything, but they should. This is the sort of position they should be in, isn't it? This is the sort of area of La Liga they should be fighting in.
I agree, and they've still got their problems, but thankfully, in terms of the centre forward, thankfully, Iñaki Williams is showing good goal scoring form this season. There's, you know, one or two new players that he's introduced into the squad. It's not a close shot like it has been under the previous manager. I mean, Vencedor, I think, is a terrific midfield player. He's been a real find, to the extent they allowed Unai Lopez, who I think is a good player, to leave the club as well. So I think Unai Vencedor is a good player. We're seeing the first goal scorer, Danny Vivian, who's coming from nowhere, 22-year-old centre-back. He's gone, you know, past Yair Alvarez. He started the season because they were injured. Yair Alvarez, Unai Nunes could play there as well. And because they've been playing well, because he's been playing well, been getting results, Marcelino's left him in, scored a cracking goal at the weekend. So I think that this is where I hope they're going to be for, you know, a major part of the season. Goal scoring is going to be an issue, but, you know, at the moment, it's they're just doing enough to beat their opponents, and the signs are good. So it's good start, excellent start to the season for Athletic Club.
Betis went away to Granada. It was a good game, actually, isn't it? Competitive, because Luis Suarez got a goal back in between. A couple of really good goals by Betis. And Canales, this is nothing new, but, you know, a player of real quality. It's been around a long time now, isn't it? But it was a fabulous goal that he scored, wasn't it? Determination as well as quality.
Yeah, all three goals were top quality, weren't they? It's an element of surprise when all three went in. You know, good skill, build-up play, striking from distance, beat the goalkeeper, and you couldn't criticise the keepers too much. So I think that was it was a big win for Betis. They actually deserved that, didn't they? I thought they deserved the victory. I mean, they were a much better team in the first half. Should have been 2 or 3 goals ahead. Granada did improve in the second half. And around the time when Luis Suarez scored a fantastic goal. They had the momentum, Granada, so Pellegrini had to make some changes, substitutions. A strange lineup, I have to be honest, but I think that is down to the fact they're playing in the Europa League this week. So you could almost see the whole bench playing in the Europa League. It did have a look of one team for this game, one team for that game. But he was forced into bringing on Joaquin, Canales, William Jose, and they all made a difference. So I think it was a good win from Betis, a much needed win. But I think they just have the look of a team that might struggle for consistency this season if Pellegrini, similar to Simeone, but not to such an extent, if Pellegrini chops and changes too much. So the last game we had, one we played up front, Borja Iglesias started last night, and then William Jose came on. So that sort of shows you what's happening with Betis at the moment. Rubel wasn't involved last night, and we had the youngster Rodri, who scored a tremendous goal. He came in and played. A good squad, and I think there's a really talented 11 in there somewhere. And I think it's up to Pellegrini to try and find that as, if possible, with the extra games they've got in Europe this season.
One last game in La Liga then was a 1-1 draw. Actually, where it started, wasn't it? 1-1. Levante 1, Rayo Vallecano 1. With a last-minute goal by Sergio Guardiola. So, good start.
And debut goal.
Sorry, say again?
A debut goal off the bench for, I think, talented striker.
Yeah.
I've liked him since we saw him for Valladolid. And Rayo, they're good to watch. They really are. They're on the front foot. They get forward quickly. Levante still finding it hard to pick up wins. Their best performance is always against the bigger teams in this league. But they need to start getting victories. 1-0, hanging on to it at the end. I make no doubt, Rayo deserved, at least a point in this game. On the back of the win the week before as well, or the game before. It's looking good for Rayo. And we're yet to see Falcao come back and play in the Liga. So they were good to watch, Rayo Vallecano, I have to admit.
So, brings us to the Champions League, Terry. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if you are. I don't know if you're sort of thinking football fatigue yet, but I'm thinking, Champions League, excellent. Particularly.
Not yet.
No, you're not feeling it, yes? No?
Okay. No, I'm not football fatigued.
Oh, no, you're not fatigued, no. Right? Good. Yep. Good. No. Good. Particularly Barca Bayern. We obviously haven't discussed Barcelona. Let's do the Spanish clubs in general. Obviously, Joe Cole, who knows more about Spanish football than all of us, tells us that it's going to be an English
European football.
Yeah.
He's not just written off all the Spanish teams, it's Italian teams and the French teams. PSG, there you go.
Yeah, they might be all right. Bayern Munich, who are they?
Yeah.
So obviously we've got lots of Spanish teams. We've got five Spanish teams. It's not that bad, is it? These mugs have managed to send five teams into the Champions League. So Atletico take on Porto. Obviously, that will be hard work and they'll win it by a single goal. Inter versus Real Madrid is a tough one to call, isn't it? They played last year. Inter started okay, actually, in Italy, even though they've run out of Barca fans. They've run out of money and had to let players go.
Change your manager.
Yeah. Bayern. So Barca versus Bayern. Well, let's have a look in a minute then. So Villarreal against Atalanta and Sevilla against Salzburg. Oh, actually, a decent Salzburg, aren't they?
Interesting. Yeah. Did some work, having just been on Sky Sports to talk about the European games.
When you get dressed up.
And I was astonished at the age of Red Bull Salzburg.
Yeah.
They 22 years old.
Yeah.
Average age, loads of young players, 19, 20-year-olds, 33-year-olds.
Kareem the Dream, manager. Adeyemi. Yeah. He's banged in loads, hasn't he, this season?
And so it'd be interesting to see how they've won 7 out of 7 in the league and beat Bromby in 2 games as well. So, and then I said on Sky Sports News, people say, this is not just English people writing off other clubs. We were saying that Sevilla are in an easy group. They're playing the French champions. So that's the team that finished above PSG in a one-team league. Wolfsburg at top of the Bundesliga. They're above Bayern Munich. They've won 5 out of 5, and Salzburg, who are dominant in Austria. So I'm sure Sevilla and Lopetegui will give them respect. Their experience might come in useful against Salzburg. But I think it's a tough group for Sevilla. And I think, actually, because they're in La Liga, because they've had success in Europe lately, people probably have them down as favourites to go through in this group. So the pressure, the expectation levels are unusually high for Sevilla. So it'd be interesting to see how they respond. And Villarreal, be interesting to see Villarreal. Tough group. Can they replicate what they've done in the Europa League?
Yeah,
I kind of like what's happening to Villarreal, but I don't like what's happening to Villarreal. They're changing. They are becoming, even in La Liga, I had so much pleasure from watching that Villarreal style over the years, and I hope we don't lose it completely. But I know it comes with them, you know, the success of them winning a trophy. By that, I mean they're hard to beat, they're hard to score against. I just hope Unai Emery can get a balance right. I don't think there will be any balance in this competition, although maybe against Atalanta at home in the first game, there might be. Gerard Moreno, I think, is doubtful. That will be a blow to Villarreal, but we'll have to wait and see.
I don't want you to commit yourself too much, Terry, because they're playing in a few hours' time, Barcelona versus Bayern Munich. I think it's not just a moment of truth for Barca, it is a period of truth and reckoning, isn't it, for Bartomeu's and his board's terrible running of the club over 6 years. The fact that they've lost Messi, you could say, was the moment of truth when they sold Griezmann. They're talking about selling Ansu Fati, etc. They lost game. They're humiliated by Bayern Munich last time they met anyway, so... But it's another staging post, isn't it, for Barcelona? In a sense, we're looking for a sign of recovery or something, aren't we? We're looking for, you know, if they give Bayern a good game, you'd be thinking, oh, you know, it's not too bad. You know, plenty to be, you know, hopeful about.
Well, I think I've been explaining to myself, saying that Barcelona are not useless, but everybody thinks they are at the moment. Yes, there's problems. They're well documented, but they're not useless. And I was looking at Chelsea that won the Champions League last season. There is a significant amount of Barcelona players that still compare to what Chelsea have. Now, Chelsea probably won the Champions League last year without a genuine superstar, i.e. Messi, Ronaldo, Lewandowski, Mbappe, Haaland. So I think for Barcelona at the moment, it's a tough period because the injuries they've got, Griezmann just left. They are left only with two strikers, Luke de Jong and Memphis Depay. And everyone's going to go, oh, but do you know what? They're both international strikers for the same national team. They're played under the manager that's at Barcelona. If they have to play two up front, they've played together before in the past. They're both, Memphis Depay has been very good. De Jong is still a good player. Braithwaite being injured is going to be out for a significant amount of time. I think it's just about Barcelona finishing probably at best second in this group, avoiding disaster, making sure in the competition when it goes to the knockout stages. By that time, they'll be hoping that Aguero's back fit. We don't know how he's going to be when he comes back. Dembele will be fit for periods and not fit for periods. We understand that. We have Ansu Fati desperately makes a full return to fitness. I think there's enough optimism there. Then you look at the defensive side of the team, you look at the midfield side of the team, that's as good as can be, as good as anything else in this competition. Yes, they're going to miss Messi. It'd be ridiculous to suggest they won, but it has to be a different Barcelona. I mean, Piqué, Araujo, Lenglet, Umtiti, I know he's not been great for the last couple of seasons, maybe longer, but still quality players. Jordi Alba, still quality player. Pedri, De Jong, Busquets, Sergio Roberto, some youngsters coming through. It's the top end of the pitch at the moment, which is going to leave them, Koeman, a little bit hamstrung in terms of going against Bayern Munich this early in the season. I don't know if he's going to play what system he'll play, whether he'll just use the two up front, whether he brings in Coutinho. Again, he's not useless, still a good player if they can get him playing well again. And now he's back to fitness. So I think it's an interesting period for Barcelona. How are they going to get against Bayern? It's a tough one to call at home, I must be honest. I would fear for them away. But it'd be interesting to see what tactics Koeman uses. If he goes with the 4-3-3 and just goes all out, guns blazing, I think they get rolled over. But I think he comes up with something a little bit different. Then they might, you know, maybe an extra midfield player, play Memphis wide, so play, you know, almost play a 4-5-1 as opposed to 4-3-3. That might make them a little bit more solid. So it's going to be, I'm really looking forward to seeing that game, to see Barcelona's progress.
Yeah, fascinating games in Europe, including Thursday night, Betis against Celtic and PSV against Real Sociedad. We'll come back with another podcast later in the week, but just for Patreons, Terry, because we're biased for the Patreons because they pay us money. So that's the deal. That's football. That's modern football for you. It's all about the money. It's not about you know, the glory anymore. In fact, Barcelona, let's hope they qualify for the next phase because they need the money from the next phase of the Champions League. Yeah. Actual serious point, that one, isn't it? They do actually need the money. Right, Terry, well, enjoy the week. Enjoy the European football. Same with everybody else. Thank you for listening. We love you all, really. But obviously the Patreons give us money, so they get extra stuff. That's the deal. And so Patreons will be back with some extra stuff soon. And enjoy your European football, everybody. And we'll see you all for a big podcast again next week.